Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is Luke chapter 21. Let me read this for us. Luke 21. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. Some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, for there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming in the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. For most of this chapter, Jesus teaches on what we can summarize as the end times. He tells of wars and natural disasters and great signs from heaven. Things that have kind of become popularized in media or just the common thinking of what the end times will look like. I feel like it's almost become a meme at this point, where each time something big happens, like a huge disaster of some kind, there are those who bring up how the end is near. In Luke 21, Jesus does make it pretty clear that there will be signs like the destruction and persecution that indicate that the kingdom of God is near. He uses the illustration of a fig tree and how Jesus says in verse 30, "As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So again, these things, Jesus says, are signs of the end, the kingdom of God being near. Having said that, the reality is that we don't know exactly when the kingdom of God will come. We see in the other Gospels that Jesus says that only the Father knows the hour. And so these things are signs and indicators, but we don't actually know the day. And so just because there's a huge natural disaster or a particularly difficult season of persecution against Christians, these aren't signs that the end is happening, going to happen within the next minute or so. No, these are all signs that we are currently in those end times and we're waiting for the return of Christ. Jesus, of course, knows this, and so he gives some teaching on what we should be doing in the meantime. I'm kind of going out of order here with the text, but in verse 34, Jesus says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap." We don't know when the time will come, and so in the meantime, Jesus warns us that we must watch ourselves and not become consumed by the world. Rather, as he continues in verse 36, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." We're to be alert, not purely in the physical sense, but spiritually. Our hearts abiding in Jesus, praying without ceasing that we would be ready at a moment's notice. In a lot of ways, this is pretty challenging. I think about my own life and how it can be pretty easy to get weighed down by the cares of this life. And when I say that, I don't even mean things that are sinful or bad. They can be considered even good or important things like family life or work or other things that are happening. And I can still get bogged down by those things. Of course, there are the other things, the less important things that I'm distracted by, things like sports or media. But, you know, there are a lot of things going on in our lives. And yet, we see very clearly, Jesus warns us to watch ourselves, make sure our hearts are focused on what's truly important. In case it's not clear, he's talking about him, keeping our hearts set on him. The second thing Jesus tells us to do in this time, and it's related to the first, is that we trust in him. We trust in him, especially in times of persecution, and then as we trust in him to endure. In verses 12 through 19, Jesus describes how in the last days, Christians will be persecuted, being delivered to synagogues and prisons, being betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, some even being put to death, and at the very least, hated by all for Jesus' name's sake. These are some pretty scary descriptions. Yet again, Jesus urges us to trust in him. As he says in verse 13, this will be an opportunity to bear witness to others. And if we trust him, we won't even have to think about what to say. For as it says in verse 15, Jesus will give you, speaking to us, a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. In other words, Jesus will give us the strength and the words to be able to endure this persecution. If it's not clear yet, I just want to make it clear to us that this doesn't mean that everyone will then live happily ever after. Again, Jesus makes it clear that Christians will be hated and some will even be put to death. So then, what does he mean in verses 18 and 19 that not a hair of your head will perish and by your endurance you will gain your lives? Well, I think Jesus is ultimately talking about the eternal life that we will have in him. For though our physical bodies will perish, whether through persecution or just age, we may even be destroyed, we'll have gained true life in eternity with God. I think it's safe to say that most of us don't think very often about the end times. And on the one hand, it's okay. I mean, I think there are some people who are overly fixated on it. People who've been misled, actually, even just in following all these details and these threads that don't really exist. But at the same time, as followers of Jesus, we actually kind of do need for it to be on the back of our minds, because our remembrance of and holding on to this understanding of the end times will actually ultimately shape how we live today. our understanding of it will allow us to do what Jesus said, to not become distracted and stay alert and to trust in him. And so even though we don't know when it's coming, we know that it is coming. So let's remember that today and seek to do so each day. It's not that we live in fear or on edge, but rather let's be diligent about being on guard, watching ourselves and the conditions of our hearts, and continuing to remain steadfast in Christ, trusting in him fully with deeper measure each day. Let me pray for us to wrap us up here. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Help us to remember that this is what we're living in right now, the end times, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that knowing this, that you would help us to hold on to you, to be steadfast, to let go of the things, move on from the things that don't matter, and instead be able to trust you all the more deeply. Thank you that we can trust in you, that when we trust you, we have everything we need now and for all eternity. And all of this, in the end, can also be a means of witness, Lord. And so again, Lord, keep our eyes set on you. Help us to keep our eyes set on you. Help us to remember that you are with us. So we thank you again for this time in your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.